Today on From His Heart, Pastor Jeff Shreve reveals how to find redemption from the spies and the lies.
Rahab becomes the poster child for any and all, and she can say with the Apostle Paul, if God can save me, he can save anyone, because I was perhaps the worst of the worst. Maybe you say, well, you know, Jeff, I kind of feel like maybe I burned my bridge with God. Maybe I've sinned too greatly. Maybe I'm too bad. Maybe the things that I've done, I mean, maybe I've crossed a line with God. But you haven't, because Rahab will tell you, if God can save me, he can save you. If God can change me, he can change you.
He can heal every scar.
Rahab the harlot was an immoral woman, covered in sin and shame. But through her repentance and courage, God used her in an amazingly powerful way. Today, you'll hear a poignant example and encouragement for you, especially if you think you've messed up just too much for God to love you. As it is often said, it just ain't so. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Thank you for joining us today for a lesson on redemption from his inspiring 10-message series, Rising to the Challenge. It's a comprehensive study of the book of Joshua. Let's start learning how to discover and live a life believing in the truth of God's power and love. Open your Bible to the second chapter of Joshua and the second message in this series, called Spies, Lies, and the Road to Redemption.
We're going to be going through the book of Joshua and looking at a lot of the high points in this wonderful book. You know, Joshua is a book of conquests. Joshua takes over from Moses, and Moses led the people out of Egypt, and the design was to go into the promised land, but they didn't go in when they were supposed to because of unbelief. And so they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, and then Moses dies, and Joshua is God's man to lead the people into the promised land. And when they go into the promised land, the first battle they have is with the city of Jericho. And we have that song that kids learn at a young age, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, because that was an epic battle in terms of God showing his might and showing his power. And Joshua and the people trusting God when the plan seemed ridiculous. But before they're going to go in to fight Jericho, they're still on the other side of the Jordan River. They haven't crossed the Jordan. They're on the east side of the Jordan. When you cross the Jordan, then you get into the land of Cana. The land of Canaan is the land flowing with milk and honey. That's the glorious land, and God was going to give them that land. But that land is not a vacant piece of property. It's an inhabited land, and it has fortified cities, as we're going to see in Jericho, and it has giants in the land. And the people were afraid initially to go in there, but now they're ready to go in. And so Joshua is going to send out spies to spy out the land. He sends out 2 spies to spy out the land. Last time, Moses sent out 12 spies, and Joshua was one of those spies, and Caleb was one of those spies, and they gave a good report, but the 10 spies gave a bad report. So this time Joshua says, let's cut the 10. Let's just go with 2. And he's going to send out 2 spies, and they're going to encounter a woman there named Rahab. Rahab is a very unlikely hero. She is part of the system of the Canaanites. She was really an Amorite. But, you know, those ites all lived in the land, the Jebusites, the Hittites, the Hivites, all the ites were there. And she was an ite. She was an Amorite. And she was far, far, far away from the God of Israel. But her story serves as a beautiful picture of God's grace. God's grace, as the song says, that is greater than all our sin. I ran across this quote just yesterday. I thought it was so appropriate for today. It says this: when a person works an 8-hour day and receives a fair day's pay for his time, that's called a wage. When a person competes with an opponent and receives a trophy for his performance, that's called a prize. When a person receives appropriate recognition for his long service or high achievements, that's called an award. But when a person is not capable of earning a wage, can win no prize, and deserves no award, yet receives such a gift anyway, that is a picture of God's unmerited favor. That's what we mean when we talk about the grace of God. Rahab is going to be a recipient of the grace of God. And she becomes the poster child for any and all. And she can say with the Apostle Paul, if God can save me, he can save anyone. Because I was perhaps the worst of the worst. Maybe you say, well, you know, Jeff, I kind of feel like maybe I burned my bridge with God. Maybe I've sinned too greatly. Maybe I'm too bad. Maybe the things that I've done, I mean, maybe I've crossed a line with God. But you haven't. Because Rahab will tell you, if God can save me, he can save you. If God can change me, he can change you. Not for a moment does God forsake the opportunity that someone has to put their faith and trust in him. And when you're a child of God, he never lets you go. So let's look in Joshua chapter 2 and learn some lessons, some very important lessons about the grace of God, a grace that is greater than all our sins. It says in verse 1, "Then Joshua the son of Nun sent two men as spies secretly from the Acacia, saying, 'Go view the land, especially Jericho.' So they went and came into the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land.' And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, 'Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land.' But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, 'Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from.' And it came about when it was time to shut the gate at dark that the men went out. 'I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you shall overtake them.' But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate." We want to talk about God's grace today. We want to talk about some lessons from the story of Rahab the harlot. These are lessons about God. Lesson number one, the Lord will judge sin. The Lord will judge sin. God is getting ready to send his people to destroy Jericho. Jericho is the walled city. Jericho is that strong, stout city. When the spies went in with Moses in Numbers chapter 13, that was one of the things they came back, the 10 faithless spies, they came back and pointed out, hey, there are giants in that land and there are fortified cities in that land. We can't take that land. We're like grasshoppers to these people. And they live in these walled, fortified cities. Talking about Jericho. Jericho was a key city for them to take. It's 5 miles to the west of the Jordan River. And they're camped over there east of the Jordan to the right, and they're going to come across the Jordan River and they're going to go to Jericho, and that's going to be the first place of attack. And God has told them, you're going to wipe Jericho out, completely out. God is going to judge them for their sin. The Lord will judge sin. The Bible says God is holy, holy, holy. His eyes are too pure to look upon sin. And God will deal with sin. It says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, when the Lord Jesus comes back at the Battle of Armageddon, it says he has a name. He's called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. Some people say, well, I mean, is that even right? Can God do that? How can God be a God of love and then and wage war and judge people in righteousness? God can do anything he wants. He's God. And God is holy, holy, holy. And the scripture says in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, the Lord says this, every soul is mine, the soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son, and the soul who sins will die. We're going to all have to give an account one day to God. And God, who hates sin, who is holy, 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 when he found sin in heaven in the heart of Lucifer and in the third of the angels, he immediately booted them out. Why? Because God can't have any fellowship with sin. So Jericho is getting ready to be judged. Jericho was a wicked city destined for total destruction. They didn't know it. I mean, they knew that the Israelites were camped on the other side of the Jordan River, and they were afraid of that, but they didn't know God was getting ready to wipe them off the map. But he was. Jericho was filled with idolatry. It was filled with immorality. Jericho, the word Jericho means moon city, because that was their chief god, the moon god. And they worshiped the moon there, along with other idols. And they would perform child sacrifices in Jericho. They were ruthless. They were murderous. They were pagan to the core. And they had been around since about the time of Abraham. This city is an old city. And God had said, enough. I am done with you. So Jericho was a wicked city, and Rahab was an immoral woman covered in sin and shame. She lived in Jericho, Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot. Now, it doesn't take a Bible scholar to figure out what she was, because it says she was a harlot. She was a woman, literally in Hebrew, a woman of continued fornication and adultery. A woman who continued in whoredom is the definition. She is a wicked woman living in a wicked city. And God is going to judge that city, and God is going to judge her for her sin. And she is guilty before the Lord. You know, some Bible scholars like to say, well, you know, the word for harlot in the Hebrew can also mean an innkeeper. And maybe Rahab was just an innkeeper. She wasn't an innkeeper. You know, I heard one preacher say, I mean, she wasn't running a Motel 6, but she was leaving the light on for people. I mean, it was one of those things. So here she is, and the city is going to be destroyed, and she's going to be destroyed because of sin. God judges sin. I heard a story about an eagle. The mighty eagle saw a weasel on the ground, and he swooped down and grabbed the weasel in his talons, and he soared up to the heavens, and someone was watching that eagle and that mighty bird and said, wow, look at that eagle, so strong, so mighty, so regal. And then they noticed in the ascent that eagle began to falter, and then the eagle began to descend, and then the eagle began to drop like a rock. And the man went up to look what happened to this eagle. When he picked up the weasel, which is known as a very fierce little critter, the weasel had turned on the eagle and had attacked and bitten into his heart. And while the eagle was soaring high to eat the weasel was draining the blood out of the life of the eagle. And eventually the eagle fell to his death. And that's kind of like sin. We think, well, I can handle this, and I can do this, and I'm soaring, and nothing's happening. Hey, the wages of sin is death. And be sure, as the scripture says, your sin will find you out. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. And you're just like that eagle. We're just like that eagle as a society. We go higher and higher, and all the while our blood is draining out, and God is going to require an accounting of our lives as a society. Well, that's what was going on in Jericho. The Lord will judge sin. Now, here's the thing about God's grace. To understand God's grace and to understand what we talk about the gospel, you have to understand the bad news before you can understand the good news. The gospel, the word euangelion in the Greek, means good news. But good news doesn't mean anything until you understand the bad news. And when you understand the bad news, that the Lord will judge sin and you're a sinner, then you realize, hey, I'm in trouble. I need grace because I am sinking like that eagle. I am going down because of sin. So that's the first lesson. The Lord will judge sin. He's getting ready to judge Jericho. Lesson number two, the Lord will save the worst of sinners who trust in him. The worst of sinners who trust in him. Rahab is a picture of the worst. She's a prostitute. She's covered in the slimy fingerprints of sin. You don't have to think too long before your mind can conjure up the shame associated with her profession. just the dirtiness that that would bring into a person's life and heart. You would try, as one lady, I still remember hearing her at a talk show, and she had given herself over to that lifestyle. The host was asking her, how did you get out of that? And she said, I was in the shower and I had a nervous breakdown. She said, I could not wash off the filth any longer. That's Rahab. Rahab, the harlot. She pictures the worst of the worst, but what happens to the worst of the worst? Verse 8. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof. She has these spies. She's hiding these spies. She knows where they're from, although she told the king's men, I don't know where they're from. She knows where they're from. She's hiding them up on her roof. She lives on the outer wall of Jericho. And she says to them, before they go to bed in verse 9, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And when we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. Now watch this. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Rahab had heard about the Lord, and she put her faith and trust in Him. Very obvious from that verse. She had placed her faith and trust in Him. She heard. She said, we heard about what your God did. And did you notice she mentions the Lord on a number of occasions in that little passage that we just read? The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. And every time she mentions the Lord, it's always in caps in the New American Standard Bible, because she is saying the name of God, the special personal name of God, Yahweh. Anytime you read in the Old Testament, Lord's all in caps, that's the four letters, YHWH. That's the special name of God. The Jews don't speak that name, because they're afraid. It says in the Ten Commandments, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. And they said, man, you don't want to mess around with the name. That's a special name. So let's not even say the name. We'll just say Adonai. And that's what they would call God. They didn't like to use the name Yahweh because they were afraid of that name. She's using the name Yahweh. And she had heard about Yahweh, this covenant-keeping God, this faithful God. And she said, He is God. He is the real God, not the moon God that we worship here in Jericho, not all these other false gods that are worshiped all around Canaan. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And she put her faith and trust in Him. You know, the Lord says in Isaiah 45, verse 22, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. And she did that. She heard, and she responded to what she heard. And see, the Bible says, and you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And she, when she heard about the Lord, and when she heard about the great things that He did, she said, if this God is a knowable God, I want to know Him. I want to follow Him. And she did. And it's obvious that she put her faith and trust in the Lord God because of what she did. See, that's what James talks about Rahab. And James says, faith without works is dead, being by itself. James says, if you have real faith, you're going to have works that back up your faith. And if you have no works that back up your faith, it's just a confirmation that you don't really have real faith. Because if you had real faith, you have works. She has real faith, and it shows up in her works. First of all, we see that she risked her life to save the Lord's spies. The spies came out. They came to her house. How did they find her house? She had the light on, and they found her house. God led them, no doubt, to her house. And so she took the spies in. She welcomed the spies. She received the spies. And she found out about the spies, and the wheels were turning. And when they came to her door to say, hey, send out the men who came to you, she lied. Now, you can't explain that away. She lied. She said, well, they came, that's right, but they didn't stay here. I didn't know who they were. They didn't stay here. They went out at the gate before the gate was closed. So go chase them and you'll surely find them. And somebody said, well, is it okay to lie then in that kind of a situation? Well, God never condones lying. He doesn't condone falsehood, but he does celebrate faith. And she had faith. You know who else lied when he got into a pinch? Abraham. Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, as a young believer, he lied about his wife. Hey, tell Pharaoh you're my sister. Don't tell him you're my wife, because if you tell him you're my wife, he's going to want you for his wife because you're so good looking. And then that could be curtains for me. So just tell him you're my sister. Abraham lied. Does God commend Abraham for lying? No. Does God commend Rahab for lying? No. But here's the thing. Rahab believed in a God she couldn't see and feared a God she couldn't see more than the king of Jericho, whom she could see. Because if it was found out that she was committing treason and hiding spies who were the enemy, she would have been killed. Just like that, she would have been killed. But she says, it's worth it for me to hide these spies to make sure that they're protected. And so she risked her life. Here's a question I want to ask you. What are you risking for the Lord? Anything at all in your life that you're risking? I mean, that your faith turns things into a risk?
Today, we heard part one of the lesson called Spies, Lies, and Redemption from the 10-message series, Rising to the Challenge, a study of the book of Joshua. Now, these are lessons we learn from the life of the harlot, Rahab. Through her repentance and courage, God used her in an amazingly powerful way and as an incredible example to us all that no matter how badly we may have messed up in life, God still loves us. Pastor Jeff will have part two tomorrow. Do you know what the greatest and the worst obstacle to faith that we'll face in this life? The answer is guilt. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation, meaning no blame, no guilt, to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What a powerful verse. In your heart, deep, deep down, do you believe that verse? Do you believe that you can be free from the guilt of sin? For many, guilt and shame are serious obstacles for people who want to walk with God, but simply can't believe that God would ever love them because they know their sin and their weaknesses. Well, Pastor Jeff has a booklet that'll help you see past your guilt. It's called Not Guilty. And it's one of our gifts of thanks to you this month for your support of any amount. And with that booklet, we'll also be sending you the captivating 4-message series from Pastor Jeff called Sticking Points, Overcoming Obstacles to Faith. You can get the entire series on USB flash drive, digital download, CDs, or DVDs, your choice, along with the booklet Not Guilty. And you can make your gift by calling 866-40-BIBLE. 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org and request the series when you make that gift. We pray that God will help you overcome whatever sticking point may be keeping you from experiencing a wonderful life with Christ. I'm Larry Nobles, and we all hope that you'll be here on Thursday as we reveal more about the spies and the lies and learn how to rest in the redemption offered to us through the person of Jesus Christ. Join us on Thursday when we'll again open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve. Now in our 20th year of broadcasting the truth and love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at FromHisHeart.org.